Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for January 14th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Moses Chow and Eric Klan about a signaling pathway that plays a role in mediating some of the effects of the antipsychotic drug haloperidol. Drugs that block dopamine signaling have been used to treat psychosis since the 1950s, but we're still learning about all of the effects these drugs have on the brain. Haloperidol is one of these antipsychotics, and it's used to treat both acute psychosis and long-term conditions like schizophrenia. Although haloperidol can reduce psychotic behavior within a few hours, it takes weeks of treatment for patients to see the full effects of the drug. Blocking dopamine signaling affects a lot of different signaling pathways and cellular processes, and much of the research on the mechanism of haloperidol action has focused on signaling through the kinase AKT to GSK3-beta. However, there's reason to think that other signaling pathways downstream of AKT might be involved in the response to haloperidol. In a study published in this issue of Science Signaling, a group led by Eric Klan and Moses Chow reports that haloperidol also affects signaling through the mTOR pathway. Klan and Chow spoke to me by telephone from NYU in New York City. Hi, Dr. Klan, Dr. Chow. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great to be here.
Like many other first-generation antipsychotic drugs, haloperidol is a dopamine antagonist, meaning that it binds to and inhibits signaling from dopamine receptors. Much of the research on the mechanism of haloperidol has focused on inhibition of signaling through GSK-beta. Why is there reason to think that other signaling pathways downstream of dopamine receptors might be affected by haloperidol?
GSK3-beta is also a target of lithium, which has historically had mixed results in patients. So we thought it would be logical that there would be other targets. And GSK3-beta signaling is thought to be driven by AKT activation. And since AKT has many downstream effectors, it seemed that there would be reason to look at other downstream candidates that were being affected by AKT.
One of those pathways that's downstream of AKT is the mTOR pathway, and that's the pathway you focused on in this study. Why did you focus in particular on the mTOR pathway?
There's been a history of study on mTOR showing that it's intimately involved in increased protein synthesis.
Moses Chow.
And also synaptic remodeling, that is, strengthening synapses. And so we were drawn to this pathway because we thought that haloperidol might have an effect on synapses and long-term changes.
And what did you do in the study to assay the effects of haloperidol on mTOR signaling?
Well, we did standard biochemical experiments to demonstrate that haloperidol acutely increased mTORC1 signaling. We also used inhibitors of AKT and mTORC1 to demonstrate that these kinases were responsible for changes in translational control proteins. And then we followed that up by using a method called SUNSET to label newly synthesized proteins. So we were able to show that haloperidol increased the synthesis of many proteins fairly rapidly at 30 and 60 minutes after treatment, and then returned to more normal levels after about 4 hours of treatment.
So haloperidol promotes mTORC signaling in the short term. What about the long term? Does haloperidol affect long-term synaptic changes through the mTOR pathway?
We believe they do. The short-term effects are more biochemical effects, modifications of proteins that are involved in increased protein synthesis. That's rather a transient effect. But then downstream of that, there are much bigger effects on the morphology of these neurons and synapses. So we think that long-term there are changes in synaptic remodeling that could persist for quite some time.
Is that synaptic remodeling dependent on mTOR signaling downstream of haloperidol? If you block mTOR signaling, do you still get those changes in the morphology of the synapses?
Yes. So we demonstrated in the paper that
Eric Klein.
The long-term changes in neuronal morphology that were induced by haloperidol required the activation of two substrates of mTOR, both of which are involved in triggering protein synthesis.
Could those long-term changes explain why haloperidol is only maximally effective after weeks of treatment in human patients?
We believe so.
Moses Chow.
The experiments we conducted were rather on the short term, within a day or two, and they were also based on culturing neurons from the brain from a particular region of the brain called the striatum. But we do think that the increased complexity of neurons that we see in these striatal neurons persists for a long time and probably rearranges a number of the synaptic connections in these experiments.
Haloperidol and a lot of other antipsychotics, these first-generation antipsychotics, can have a lot of side effects and some pretty bad side effects. Do your findings about haloperidol affecting the mTOR pathway contribute anything for understanding some of those side effects, how they arise?
Yeah, I would say that there's no reason to assume that the signaling changes and proteomic changes that we see with haloperidol are only representative of treatment-related actions. So it certainly is possible that some of the side effects are also due to these changes. I will say that we have some unpublished preliminary data that suggests that at least one side effect, catalepsy, is not dependent on mTORC1 signaling, suggesting that at least for that side effect, there is a different mechanism.
Dopamine receptor activation can affect signaling through a lot of different pathways. So in addition to the GSK3-beta and mTOR pathways, are there still more pathways that are affected by antipsychotics like haloperidol?
I think definitely so. We, of course, focus on AKT mTOR, but AKT is a very highly regulated enzyme that's stimulated by many things, and AKT itself has many substrates in addition to GSK3-beta. It has cell cycle proteins that it affects, even proteins involved in cell death and in transcription. So we have not looked at all these different substrates, but there's reason to believe that if AKT is active and is affecting mTOR, that it may be affecting these other pathways.
Is the eventual goal to be able to develop more specific drugs that can specifically target one or two pathways that are going to give a therapeutic benefit with fewer side effects rather than just using the dopamine receptor antagonist?
Yes, I think one goal would be to try to find compounds that perhaps stimulate one pathway versus another. The other goal was, because haloperidol is effective for many people, it would be to identify proteins and processes that may be involved in the response to haloperidol that are downstream of something like mTOR, so that you could perhaps also target those molecules.
Moses Chow.
Yeah, I'll just say that it's interesting that it's been 50 years since haloperidol was put on the market for schizophrenia and also other psychiatric disorders. And although there are second-generation antipsychotic drugs, there hasn't been anything new for many years. So it's our hope that by probing into the downstream mechanism, haloperidol, it will tell us what new targets could be used to develop new antipsychotics.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Moses, for talking with me.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was Moses Chow and Eric Klein discussing a paper published in the January 14th issue of Science Signaling by Bowling and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.